This is Barry Summers. You're listening to WPVM. And on the line with me is Hawker. Hawker is in Waveland, Mississippi. And Hawker and others from Asheville have taken a mobile kitchen and are feeding the homeless, the people impacted by Hurricane Katrina. Hawker, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, Barry.
Listen, I want to get a sense of who you all are and how you got there. Can you give me the skinny about how you all decided and how you made it happen to get down to Waveland, Mississippi?
Well, we're a group of folks that have known each other for a while from the Rainbow family. Many of us across the country started calling each other when we started getting a grasp of the magnitude of the devastation here. A lot of us were in Asheville, so some folks like myself started calling each other, myself and some other folks from other kitchens in Rainbow started calling each other and realized that we were able to do a lot down here. And we raised some money. We had a benefit in Asheville, raised some money, and eventually came down here and joined with other members of the Rainbow family from Wisconsin and other states, and came down here to Waveland, Mississippi, and began feeding people.
Now, obviously, most of the news we're hearing about is from New Orleans, but the center of the hurricane actually went through pretty much where you are. Waveland is pretty much ground zero. What is the town like? What was the impact of the hurricane?
Well, in Waveland, it was pretty severe. You're right, Barry. This was the center of the hurricane. So this town of Waveland doesn't really exist anymore. I took a drive yesterday through the town of Waveland, and as you get down towards the beach, the houses are not there at all anymore. As you get 5 miles back, there are piles of rubble where houses used to be. And as you get where we are, which is about 10 miles from the Gulf, you see houses with major, major damage that are all not salvageable. So picture a swath of land that is 150 miles long and 20 miles wide, completely decimated. Those towns will not exist. They'll have to bulldoze completely and start over from scratch. And we're at the eye of it.
So how did you all wind up in Waveland?
Long process of looking at different places, trying to figure out where our needs were best. A lot of this community is very scared and holding together, and so we're looking for places where a group as large as us could serve as many people as we are. People were still very traumatized by this hurricane and weren't really venturing out of their community. So after starting at a few different places, we had a group in Biloxi and a group in Gulfport and a group in Louisiana and a group here. We decided that this was the place that felt best and where we could be most effective. And after a few days of independent places, we all merged on this place.
So describe to us what the scene is like. Where are you? And basically, what have you set up and what are you providing?
Well, we are right in the center of Waveland, Mississippi. And we arrived on this scene. We all partnered with a Christian group from Bastrop, Texas, called the BCOC. And I believe that stands for Bastrop Community Outreach Center. And we have set up two kitchens and one feeding area, a tent for feeding, and then we have set up a medical facility and a what we call the Wall of Smart, where we take donated goods and items and give people shopping carts and let them take whatever they need. We have food, clothing for people to take home, food. We provide cleanup supplies and labor for people to try to salvage some of their homes or at least make them salvageable enough so they have somewhere to stay. We're providing tents and camping gear. About 6,000 meals a day we're serving out of this location. So we are putting out a lot of food, trying to give people a lot of love, and just giving a safe place for people to come and cry and tell their stories. People are very traumatized by what happened. They need to talk about it, and so we're also providing that service as well.
Now, where are you getting your supplies from?
Initially, we came down with a school bus, well, several school buses with supplies. Various groups had donated. We had a fundraiser in Asheville. Some of us donated our personal money. We came down with a couple $1,000 worth of food, and that held us over for a few days. Right now, there's been an incredible outpouring of love and support from around the country, and we're getting tractor-trailer load after tractor-trailer load of supplies in. And we unload them and sort them and figure out if they're kitchen supplies or if they're for people or what to do with them, or sometimes we trade with other relief centers if we have excess or they have excess. And we just are trusting the faith of people to donate what's needed and bring it down.
What are you seeing from the various government agencies, the Army, the National Guard, FEMA, the Red Cross, etc.?
Well, most of the agency support is concentrated on Gulfport and Biloxi, and they seem to have not moved west very well. We are seeing a little bit of Red Cross personnel out here. I think they're more surveying and trying to figure out how they can do out here. They're also providing support for people that need a little more support. We've come in pretty strong, pretty skilled, and the reality is we haven't needed a lot of support. So we've seen almost no Red Cross, almost no Salvation Army. Occasionally the Army Corps of Engineers will come by and help us put up a tent or pitch in or help unload a truck. We've seen a lot of support from the Florida Highway Patrol has come in and helped us with security, helped us loading and unloading, helped us with some logistics. Not too much else agency support. There's a FEMA person that walks through the camp once a day. I'm not sure what they're doing. So it's really an independent group. It's really become the BCOC, again, the Christian organization from Texas, and ourselves doing most of the work here.
Now, of course, you mentioned that many of you that helped set up this kitchen have a background in the Rainbow Gathering. For those people who aren't familiar with it, it's a movement that started in the 70s and has been going for 30 some odd years now. And people set up, among other things, set up mobile kitchens in the wilderness and feed people just simply with what they can carry in. And talk just a little bit about what it's like to show people that they can live without big institutions, that simply you can set up a kitchen and feed each other and provide the basics and have those skills. Can you talk about what it's like, what sort of reactions you get from people?
Well, I think people are very amazed that all these things can be given to them free of charge, that there's a lot of love going around, and I think the people need the love, and they're responding well to it. They come in, and they feel good. They feel warm. It feels good that this is one more thing they don't have to worry about. So they're very receptive to what's going on. It's a new experience. Some of them are a little uncomfortable at first receiving things for free, but eventually they all learn that we're just trying to help and trying to do what we can. And so it's been very warmly received. We've had a lot of support from the community and from the various law enforcement agencies, et cetera, that have come through here. In fact, we've got a reputation as being one of the best places to come get dinner, not only because of the quality of the food, but because of the love that's put into all this.
So how do you anticipate this going on in the future? How long do you see the need for you to be there? How long do you all plan to be there? And do you see the resources and the people continuing to come to keep this going?
Well, we're definitely, this is a long-term commitment. There's going to be a long-term need. FEMA is telling us that power will be back on in about 3 months. Water will be back on in about 6 months. And major rebuilding probably won't be able to start for another year. So people are going to need a long-term commitment. On the other hand, they don't need to be dependent. So we have to start working on empowering people to start taking care of themselves and getting on with their lives. As of now, we're thinking that we may need to be here till around Thanksgiving or so. And we will need other people to come in and relieve us as we get tired and burnt out.
So are you putting out the word for other people to get involved, and how are you doing that?
Well, we certainly need, yes, we probably the biggest resource we need right now is volunteers, and we're trying through our networks and things like this radio station interview to let people know that there really is a need, that there's nothing like this. This is devastation on the level that America has never seen before, and if you ever wanted to help, now's the time. It's a very powerful experience. It's a life-changing, very moving experience. There's no words to describe the power. And yes, we need volunteers. We need people to contact us and help relieve. And I'd say we need people who are individuals, who are self-motivated, and come down here and jump in and run a kitchen and run a relief group, who know what to do. I mean, with food experience, things like that would be very helpful.
So if someone were simply to pick up and come from Asheville, North Carolina, what could they expect, and how should they be prepared, both on a sort of a personal needs level and on an emotional level, and what can they expect from you all when they get there?
Well, if you're thinking of volunteering, you should be able to be self-sufficient in terms of camping and taking care of yourself. You should have some basic food in case food doesn't happen when you need it. If you experience very much like that. On the other hand, there is, right now we are pretty blessed with a good amount of supplies. So food, clothing, things like that should be plentiful, but you should be an independent person. As far as emotionally, it's a very powerful experience. People have told me stories of clinging to trees, clinging to ropes, punching through their roofs, loss and devastation. You serve somebody and they cry on your shoulder. So it it's definitely the setting where you need to be strong and you need to be able to be sensitive to people's, to what's going on with people, and to be able to be supportive.